It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Other news today, an update from the city of Richardson about the water issue there, forcing thousands of people to boil their water, keeping some kids even from school.
The city says a band sensor allowed water in one tower to drop, which caused a water pressure drop, which means there could have been a backflow of unsafe water. The pressure drop was only for 5 minutes, but the city says it was enough to trigger protocols from the state that include a water boil order before it's considered safe to drink. City manager Don Magner says they've already fixed the problem and sent samples to the state.
First thing tomorrow morning, we'll receive notice from the labs. If all of the tests come back and are passed, we can quickly work with TCEQ on a couple of additional steps that will be necessary for us to lift the boil water notice.
Meantime, 5 schools had to be closed. Restaurants have new guidelines to operate under, and the city is handing out bottled water to residents. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The Richardson School District actually says that those 5 schools will be open tomorrow.
Ladies, now in a story we've been following all week long, there is a clear alert for a missing mom.
Wiley police believe 46-year-old Melanie Bollinger may have been abducted or is in grave danger. She's been missing since Sunday night. Her husband told officers she left the house without her phone, didn't take her car either.
Monday morning, she wasn't here. My daughters and I looked around the house and couldn't find her, and then we called the police, and they kind of started the search.
He says he doesn't know why she would leave, but did so on foot without her heart medication. Earlier this week, a DPS helicopter and a K-9 unit was out searching for hours with no luck. They're asking people who live in that neighborhood to check their cameras for any sign of her. Bollinger was last seen Saturday night in Murphy at a Walmart. Why she was there is still a mystery. From the 24-hour news center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Our picture's on our website at krld.com.
The search is underway for a 16-year-old girl missing from Hunt County. This was just east of Collin County. An Amber Alert issued for Jordan McEachran. She was last seen yesterday morning in West Tewankini. Jordan is 5'2", 180 pounds, with brown eyes, brown hair and blue eyes. She was last seen wearing a black AC/DC t-shirt, black pants, black and white shoes. DPS doesn't have a description of a suspect or a car, but they say that she's believed to be in danger. That's why they've activated that Amber Alert. You can see her picture at KRLD.com.
You heard the president's address just moments ago here on KRLD. Let's bring in SMU political science professor Matt Wilson. Well, what stood out to you in the president's address, or was it what we expected?
Yes, I actually think it was one of the president's better recent speeches, and I think it hit the right notes. It was very conciliatory. There was no acrimony in that. He clearly acknowledged the results of the election, expressed confidence in the integrity of the American electoral system, promised a peaceful transfer of power, said that he will work with the incoming administration, and then just gave a thanks to his staff. So there was really nothing controversial there. I think it hit the right notes, and I think he did well.
You know, Mike and I were talking as we were listening to it and just saying it felt a little bit more like a farewell speech. Do you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, clearly it had a valedictory tone to it. He recapped his accomplishments, things that he thinks his administration has done well. He thanked his staff. I mean, I think it was a kind of a preview of probably some themes that he will reiterate as he leaves office in January. But, you know, he realizes at this juncture, he's not going to do anything else legislatively or have any more, you know, signature moments in his administration, because he's clearly a lame duck at this point. You know, Congress was still controlled in the House by Republicans. He's not. His period of accomplishment has ended. And so, yeah, it absolutely had a farewell tone to it.
You mentioned the transfer of power, a peaceful transfer of power. Is it important to Democrats here to set an example as to how that is supposed to work, as opposed to what happened in 2020?
I think it's important to them because one of the main cases that they have made against Trump was that he didn't buy into that the way he should have. And I think they will want to highlight the contrast. I think for the long-term good of the party, if they are gracious and cooperative in accepting their defeat and do arrange for a peaceful transfer of power, they would like the long-term visual of that as a contrast to what happened on January 6th. So, yeah, I do think it's something that they will stress very much.
I wanted to step back a little bit and take a broader look at the election. We're hearing so many things about what Trump did, but there's a lot of eyes going to be focused on what the Democrats didn't do. And I just wanted to ask you, as a political science professor, what would you say the Democrats should pull from this election? What themes should they take from their loss here?
I think the biggest theme is that they ran up finally against the limits of an abortion-focused electoral strategy. They had made a lot of hay in some of the midterm and off-cycle special elections by really focusing on abortion. And, you know, pro-choice groups had a lot of success in state-level ballot initiatives. But the fact that they continually foregrounded that issue in the presidential campaign, I think, hurt them. Primarily because while the abortion issue does mobilize an important constituency within the Democratic Party, it consistently came in third or fourth on voters' stated list of concerns. And the fact that that was such a central part of their messaging, as opposed to saying things about the economy and about the border, I think did hurt them. And I think that's a lesson that they will draw. The other thing is, I think it highlights the importance of having a competitive primary process, because Kamala Harris had some shortcomings as a candidate that could have been exposed, indeed were exposed, when she was part of a competitive primary process back in 2020. And I think Democrats, if they had it to do over again, might have preferred to run with a different nominee.
What do you make of the Latino vote? If you go back 8 years, Hillary Clinton won among Latinos, I think, by 30 points, and Biden did real well in 2020. Kamala Harris, she actually lost to among Latino men and barely won among women.
Yeah, this is the extraordinary realignment story in our nation's politics right now. We're seeing realignments actually along a variety of dimensions, but this is a very big one. The whole logic of the emerging Democratic majority that we've been hearing for the last 20 years.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was predicated on the growing Latino population and on the assumption that Latinos would continue to vote 70% or so Democratic. Well, the second part of that has fallen apart. I mean, yes, Latinos continue to be a growing part of the U.S. population, but now they break even, basically, between Democrats and Republicans. And so the Latino population growth is not contributing to an emerging Democratic majority. So this is really striking. I mean, in Pennsylvania, Donald Trump did pretty well among Hispanic voters, even despite the controversial comments about Puerto Rico that were made at his Madison Square Garden rally. A lot of Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania still voted for Donald Trump. Republicans here in Texas won a majority in the border counties. I mean, that's an extraordinary shift. And so this really is a major story in American politics right now.
Good enough. Listen, we appreciate the time as always. Matt, thank you so much. That is SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson.
A couple of months ago, we had the pleasure of catching up with former Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross and about his new book, which is still selling like crazy. It's Risks and Returns, Creating Success in the Business Life. But today, I thought it'd be a great time to talk to him as one of the few survivors of 4 years in the prior Trump administration. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us again. So tell me about this process. I mean, you did something nobody else could do. Rex Tillerson was, you know, Dallasite was right. Secretary of Energy for about 15 minutes. How do you go 4 years and get along with Donald Trump? He's a tough guy.
Well, he's a very demanding boss. And so the first thing for a CEO from outside to get used to is that he is not the CEO of the U.S. government. Trump is. That's a hard thing for people to get used to, because if you've been the CEO of a major company, you're used to people reporting to you much more than you reporting to other people. And that's a culture shift that is not so simple.
Well, you adapted well, because he always spoke fondly of you. So this time around, there's more time. My sense was the last time he was elected, it came as a complete surprise to everybody, including Donald Trump. And there was no preparation. Now, it looks like the groundwork is there. Maybe it'll be smoother. Do you think it's going to be off to a better start?
Oh, I think he'll be off to a much better start. Take, for example, the role of Elon Musk. Musk, well, he probably won't have a formal title in the government. He will certainly be very influential in it. And he's already hit the ground running pre-election. Some of his people have reached out to folks like me to get a list of people that we knew from the prior administration, both policy people, political people, and non-political, and put an A by the ones that were good and a B by the ones that were not. So Musk is already trying to get together his game plan, and that's a good thing. We didn't have anything like that last time.
So the question really is, where do they start? And you know, because there are tax reforms and all things they want to do. And I guess a lot of it is what sort of a mandate do you have, and how easy is it going to be to either do an executive order or go through Congress? Well, it looks like it's going to be pretty easy to go through Congress. Were you surprised at the breadth of the this quickness with which we found out who the president is?
I was surprised at how clear the victory was. I thought he would squeak it out, but I had underestimated a couple of things. One was the percentage of Latino vote that would go to Trump. It's not that he carried the Latino vote, and it's not that he carried the black vote, but his percentages went up quite considerably in each one. Well, when you think about it, switching a person from Democrat to Republican has the impact of two votes. So it's really a double up. And I think if you add it up and subtract it, those two factors were quite important in the margin of victory.
You know, you've known Donald Trump for a very, very long time. And you go back, of course, you know, you're Rothschild, you worked out bankruptcies, you worked on Pan Am and Texaco and everything else. You became a billionaire with your own private company. But again, you worked with him back on the, as we talked about last time, on the bankruptcy of the Trump casinos. So tell me about the demeanor. Do you think he's going to be a different sort of a president? Do you think he's going to be more comfortable and maybe a little less looking over his shoulder?
Well, I think this time the biggest difference will be there won't be a lot of anti-Trumpers in the administration. Last time he had to rely a lot on recommendations of friends. And the problem with that is if you don't know the person directly and you aren't sure where they are in terms of trade policy or border or various other issues, you run the risk of a disconnect, a fundamental disconnect. And early in the last administration, we had a number of fundamental disconnects. And that caused a lot of turnover. And so that was one set of problems. The other was that while Mitch McConnell was an effective leader in the Senate in many regards, he was not particularly pro-Trump. And so the pace at which Trump appointees were approved by the Senate was slower than is usually the case with the new administration. Now, this time, I think the Senate will be clearly much more a pro-Trump Senate, and I think the leadership will be more clearly pro-Trump.
You know, looking just at the reaction, the knee-jerk reaction of the stock market, it was just overwhelming. And again, the breadth of the rally. Corporations seem to be, or the sense is that corporations are going to benefit under this administration. You're a great businessman, and you've benefited to a great extent by companies that have had missteps. What's the state of business right now, and what's it likely to be like?
Well, everybody in the last go-round congratulated us much more on regulatory relief than even on tax relief. And I think that will be true again. The Biden administration almost every week puts out new regulations, new levels of enforcement. There are going to be a blizzard of executive orders getting rid of a lot of that stuff. Last time, if memory serves, we got rid of about 8 times as many rules and regulations as new ones we put in. Well, there's going to be a need for quite a lot of that this time. And that's the most important thing to business. Business has a tough time adjusting to uncertainty. And when you're not sure what the regulatory environment will be, but you know it'll be less favorable, it tends to paralyze decisions.
What about antitrust? Do you think we're going to see a recurrence, a wave of consolidation, of mergers?
Well, as far as I can tell, the FTC has yet to see a big merger they really liked under the present administration. I think there's, in general, a bias against big business that was true under President Biden, and it certainly will not be true under Trump.
So are you going to be an interested observer, or have you been contacted by the incoming administration?
Oh, I think it's a little early to divide up the spoils.
Have you heard from people looking for jobs?
Oh, there are a lot of people willing to serve. And that's the other good thing. This time, because the business community feels more comfortable with Trump, I think he'll have much richer pickings. I don't mean just rich in the material sense, but many more senior executives will be willing to come this time than last time.
You know, I saw a really enthusiastic reception to your book. I mentioned it early on, Risk and Returns, Creating Success in Business and Life. And you've been traveling the country, talking about the book, talking to groups. Have you enjoyed that?
Yes, I have. The interaction has been very good. For example, yesterday we were in San Antonio. They had 300 people turn out at the big museum there for a book signing and a discussion and a lunch. Today I'm here for the Dallas World Affairs Council. I don't know how many they'll turn out, but it'll be another good turnout. People are really interested both in these sort of historical facts that are in my book and in kind of the opinions of Trump going forward. Because a lot of people still don't know him that well.
No, they didn't, and certainly didn't the first time around. I guess we know him better this time around. Look, I appreciate the time. It's good to have you back in the area, and continued good wishes on book sales.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day for the latest news, weather, and traffic. Listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.